Blog Talk Radio.
We don't have to go find a mark. We can leave the mark to us. This man is going, it's going to get what my son said the other day. It's going to get mad out of here. Finish reading. Come on.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to make a point on that, that last statement you made. I think ultimately, that's the reality of what this is. We understand politically how this is going to affect our people, but really looking at this from the Most High stand, is the Most High forcing us in a corner to really depend on Him and to trust in Him and to keep His commandments?
Right.
No more bathroom bills, no more underhandedness, no more sneaking around, no more playing around. Our lives are going to depend on us living a disciplined, clean life, separated from the madness that's going on this earth. And that's not to say that things won't come to your front door or what have you. We understand that those things happen, especially in our community. But we have a better chance if we live a disciplined life under the shade of the Most High.
Exactly. Let's finish reading one.
Yes, sir. Verse 68. For behold, the burning wrath of a great multitude is kindled over you, and they shall take away certain of you and feed you, being idle with things offered unto idols. And they that consent unto them shall be had in derision and approach and trodden underfoot. For there shall be in every place and in the next city a great insurrection upon those that fear the Lord.
See that the insurrection is to what? Point to criminality against those who really believe. Good people who believe in God. Ultimately, they're releasing the sinners and the evildoers because this is a battle between good and evil. See? It's a battle. The great insurrection is the purge. It's releasing the criminals against those who believe in God.
It's bison or lamb.
Tell me the Bible isn't real. Tell me the Bible isn't pathetic. And it's the real living in this time, seeing it, and being able to view it other ways from a political view to see how they're going to execute. I can see it a mile away how they're going to execute. How can one side of your mouth to say it's time to get tough on crime, and on the other side say we're releasing all the criminals? If you commit a particular homicide, if you kill somebody with a car, the police cannot detain you. Particular homicide? I mean, somebody gets mad at somebody and upset. And you know our people, we'll start threatening around the corner. You know you can hit somebody with a car and not get locked up, right? I mean, this is what, listen, I've seen people in North Philadelphia say, hey, they broke in the store, the back of the window goes in, you smack and grab. You can get what you want right now. I've seen a regular conversation with people who aren't swimming.
Yeah.
So you know our people know the law when it comes to getting off on them. And they're going to have that conversation in the community. Listen, he didn't come home last night. Now I'm tired of him. And you know, dude, you know they got this new law where you can actually run somebody over with a car and not get locked up there. What? Yeah, Tommy did it yesterday. That's how it's going to be out here.
No. Let the emotions kick in. It's a wrap.
Yes, sir. Very clever. So there should be in every place and in the next city a great insurrection upon those that fear the Lord.
Come on.
They shall be like mad men, fair enough.
They shall be like mad men. What?
Fairing none.
This is Bible prophecy, folks. Bible prophecy. Engineered criminality, folks. It's going to work on both sides. I'm going to help purge the people they're trying to get rid of so that the people they let in can have a place to stay. It becomes a new constituency that they're going to, so they can have the voting power we used to have. That's the first thing that they're going to do with you, get rid of our people. At the same time, they're going to be able to demonize us and use the crime rate.
No. No.
I
said no.
Oh, yeah? Okay, well,
hey. Come on, what do you mean I said no? Listen, you're not pigging out. Ain't no pigging out going on. You pig out. Okay. Why are you pushing pigging out over here? Yeah, keep that over there. You want to pig out? Pig out. We're not pigging out over here.
So it's time for those who believe in God, to believe in God, to move out of the way. Follow his law. Watch where we're going. Watch how we operate. Just like January 1st. They gave us the clock. They told everyone this when the clock will strike midnight. The purge, folks, outright the purge. And they put it under the guise of prison reform. So this is let me tell you, this is the preemptive step, literally. They break this out of a
got you some good old aspartame, huh? No, you don't. Why would you feed poison to your people? That's like being a crack dealer. Well, I'm not going to smoke it, but give it to them to smoke. No, you throw it away. Hey, do unto your neighbor as you would do unto yourself. You're not going to drink it? You don't then take it to your neighbor.
Now, this was under the Republicans, George Bush. They made it where what? The local police, the state police, in the military were now coincide and operate one with another.
Well,
the transition now will be okay,
yeah.
Since we've already put
the
foundation
in
place. Watch what I tell. There are parody changes that you put along with the DSA. time to be okay with that.
NBAA.
And I love, I always use R. Kelly as an example. RICO charge used to be for people for drug cartels.
Change it just for R. Kelly.
So they can switch it up anytime in the world.
RICO laws.
Oh, he took a girl from over to Chicago to see R. Kelly. Okay, they're going to cross state lines. Oh, that's a RICO charge. Y'all didn't know that he wasn't arrested for pedophilia? Y'all didn't know that?
Yep.
RICO charge. So that means what
they are. They publicly, specifically changed the law to convict R. Kelly. RICO law. Huh?
Yeah,
it didn't create the law. I mean, there's system.
First Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, and the third verse. You can elaborate.
Okay.
All right. I find it funny that they call this the safety belt. You know what the Bible tells us about when they say peace is safety. I'm going to read this real quick. 1 Thessalonians 5:3.
The safety belt.
For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
Mm. So every time they say peace, that's usually a message to those who understand the lingo amongst the politicians. Peace and safety means more death and destruction. Whenever they say no, it's the reverse. Whatever they tell you, no, it's the reverse. And guess what? See it, you know, once you see the trends on how they continue to manipulate and lie and deceive our people into supporting our own demise, I don't think that it could have gone any other way. What better person to have in position as President of the United States than the one who was responsible for locking up and destroying a whole generation of men, of black men in particular in our community? What better guy to do it? But he would not have been able to do that. It was a taxi without the Pied Piper. Without the Pied Piper. How are we going to get these niggas to vote for this guy? The Republicans are looking pretty strong.
Is that what sold you?
Yeah,
y'all sitting on Hall for show?
Huh?
You used to watch it? Not at 7 o'clock at night, you didn't have to work.
That's how they do it. That's how they do it. They had the whole thing planned, folks. They're all intertwined. Hollywood, politicians, they're all in. Got the reform bill working over there. They got the drug cartel cooking up the crack over there. And it's funny, Elroy, how they got a new series out, and they got the brothers in England playing really free range with the law. It's called White Something. It's called White Fall.
You talk about Snowfall.
Snowfall, yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm over that stuff. It's Snowfall, right? Snowfall, right? And it's deep how that whole thing was orchestrated. And they make, they put the story, and they're making us believe when they're trying to shift the narrative that a black guy from California was really behind the whole crack pandemic, epidemic that destroyed all of our people. This one guy is really the face of the destructive, I would say toxin or ingredient for crack cocaine. And we all know, allegedly, that they are clandestine letter people behind all of that. He tests LSD and all that during Woodstock and all. And they want to try to make us into some Negro from California came up, you know, with cooking crack cocaine and baking powder. Let me tell you something. They always fit the script to blame it on us. You probably do. They socially engineer us in a community that they know will have what? Financial deprivation. They create the deprivation. And automatically, you're going to get people who try to survive, who eventually will be willing to do anything to get out.
Yes, sir. Just two more quick things. One quick scripture and a statement. Also what you just mentioned about that too in particular. I also don't think there's any coincidence that in the past few years, all of the, I guess you would say, black TV shows have been that same exact narrative of drug dealers, murderers, killers, and giving a visual exaltation to that particular lifestyle. At the same time that resources are drying up, same time that desperation is setting in, selling this particular lifestyle to the next generation. So that's one point I wanted to make there. But one last scripture I wanted to read as well, just as wisdom in operating in this time, Ephesians 5:15.
Go on.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Because the days are evil. So we must walk circumspectly. We must walk with the full understanding that guess what? You may be walking in this area could be high crime that could actually find you. Watch what you're doing. Keep your head on a swivel. Okay, so they keep their head on a swivel. So I think, Elder Lawyer, before I go on, someone was asked to talk to
me. Yeah, I was telling you I took my gun with me. And I came
I guess
to get you.
An opposing view or a question to ask.
Yes. I'm going
to. Hold on, 1 second.
And even if it wasn't, the time
okay,
was
going to really make sure you, if you're going to come on, you must have your video.
In the woods, anything can happen.
There.
But especially now,
so make sure you come in.
They might get to the point to where just going to the grocery store. That's what's going to. That's what it's going to be.
Are you there? Okay. Well, Natalie, you're going to have to come in with your audio and video. I'm going to remove you, come in with your audio and your video. Now, you must come in with your audio and your video. If you were asked to come in, that means that you had a dissenting view or you had something that you need to speak directly to me with. So if you don't come in with the video and audio, you're going to have to block me. You're going to have to send you into
Gigabyte line.
You have a statement to make that could be offensive or trying to scroll in our comments, then you have to put a face behind your statement. And that's how we're going to do it from now on. We're not going to block you. We're going to allow you to come in and say what you have to say to us.
Step into the light, step out of the darkness. Anybody can be a keyboard warrior, keyboard gangster. When nobody knows who you are, but now that you're, everyone will do the same thing.
All right.
you don't come out here with your video, I might bring you on. I want to see who you are. You're not going to be talking crazy to me anonymously.
Before I open the line, if you ask to come in, please must come in and get that price. Get the microphone.
Seven 557 area code. Do you have a comment or a question? Seven 557-725-0920. Are you there? Two 281 area code. Do you have a comment or a question? 281 area code, comment or question?
All right, I'm unmuted. Thank you, Elder Ramar. We have Andre with a comment. Brother Andre.
Yes, sir. Big Shalom, Elder. How you doing today, sir?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahiah.
Yes, sir. profound information which you're bringing forth. When I was at Norfolk State, we used to have debates on which president really destroyed the black community the most, whether it be Ronald Reagan or Bill Clinton. And just profound information that you brought forth. And it's just one scripture, because I know you can't be before as long. It's one scripture I want to bring out just to kind of shape the mindset that these people have when it comes to not understanding the judgment of the Most High. It's Ecclesiastes 8 and 11 when it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set to do evil. And I try to tell our people all the time, understand that just because we don't see the Most High execute the sentence speedily, it doesn't mean that execution isn't coming. Like the Most High, like you said, the Most High is at the point where he has to step in, because we're prone to trust the liars. We're prone to trust soothsayers. We're prone to trust these people when these people want their foot on our neck at every chance. So once again, elders, profound information. I recommend all the saints read Ecclesiastes chapter 8. A lot of good information in there, but I'll yield with that. Is these people are just evil.
Well, thank you. When you said that there was a debate on who was the most destructive between the two. Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan? Okay, and what was the consensus?
The consensus was Ronald Reagan was the worst, but the consensus was Bill Clinton was the one black people would. On paper, Ronald Reagan did worse, but Bill Clinton was actually the worst because we trusted him more. It's almost like our people, like I said, we're prone to trust the liars, so we'd rather somebody lie to our face versus somebody just tell us straight up that they don't like us. It's almost like the Donald Trump and Joe Biden issue, when people don't want to face Donald Trump because they'll say, well, Donald Trump is a racist. I'd rather have a man in my face tell me his intention than have Joe Biden stab me in my back. So it was kind of that situation.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't forget, it was destructive under Ronald, too. Just say no.
Absolutely.
Exactly. They allow the crack and other things to run ragged in our communities. Only for Nancy to come out. I'm thinking Nancy Reagan talking about just say no.
Yep, that was Nancy. And then in 1986, the Jab Safety Child Act was signed. That was Ronald Reagan. So getting all our children jabbed up.
Look at that. So they get us all jammed up with all these solutions and mess us up, destroy us chemically within our community, giving us sicknesses or what have you. Then they come with the saxophone guy to lock us up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I
appreciate it.
Days of practice.
All right. You checked him out, how they put the saxophone under the rest of the music, right? That guy didn't know how to play
the
saxophone.
Yeah, how they put him down there.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, Andre. I'll speak
all right,
to you
bless
soon.
You, Elder.
All right. All right. All right, let's go to the next call. Stan, 281 area code, Stan.
Shalom, my Lord. How are you this night?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahiah. How are you?
All praises. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm I'm a bit concerned, man, with this this news, this letting loose of the what they would call ne'er-do-wells coming on the first. It really has me thinking because as a man, I know that men already have an innate nature of, okay, I'm going to fight to the death if need come and things of that nature. We, as a man, we have that. But yeah. I'm thinking of the sisters right now and the children. This is going to be a big, this purge is going to be something serious, man. And all of our sisters and these children that are in these group homes and I forget the term, but the system, the child protective system, basically, it's going to be something serious, man. Like, they don't have any hedge of protection, a lot of them, and they're just out living a whimsical. And hit it very hard. And as a man, I already have it in my mind. Okay, if it comes to it, it comes to it. War is war. Praise the Most High. I live to serve. But I'm really concerned about the sisters out here.
Yeah.
And I my heart just, it weeps because I'm walking in life and I'm seeing just how unprepared we are as a people for warfare, including the men. How unprepared we are for how serious of a time we're in. The multitude of deaths that has come, and I we just take it so lightly. We just live it. We're just living whimsically. I don't think a lot of us even think, those of us even in this walk, in this truth, I don't think we really understand the magnitude of what is to come. And that comes with, let me put my seatbelt on, that comes with us living in such a sweet time where we've never seen warfare here. America hasn't seen warfare on its land before like that, like where people are trying to kick down your door, things of that nature. You brought up something earlier today. It's going to start with this, with the wicked that they're releasing into the streets. It's going to start with the wicked. You know, not saying that there aren't brothers in incarcerated who deserve and need a chance.
Hey, brother, you have a lot to say, and what you're saying is impactful, but there's typing and everything going on.
Hello?
Yeah, it sounds like there's typing and everything going on.
No, I'm not. My phone is actually laying flat. I'm sorry about that. I'm driving at the moment, but hopefully can you hear me better now?
Yeah, that's better. It sounded like someone was typing, but go on. I'm sorry.
My apologies.
They're going to use the criminality in our community and releasing the prisoners as a smokescreen, the Trojan horse, so that now they can come in and cause more criminality, probably, or legitimate, and blame them as criminals.
It's going to get real greasy in these streets, man. It's going to get real greasy in these streets. You brought up earlier that, you know, those of us who have been kind of acclimated to how the streets work and out here living however we was living for the Most High Savers, we know how grimy it gets. We know about, you know, such and such got set up, you know, was thought he was going to have a nice date with Keisha. Come to find out, you know, we going to his funeral next week. It happens. These things actually happen in real life. And I think it's going to be a real flux of this type of crime and these type of things going on when they release the hounds, so to speak, when they release that smoke screen. And I really would like to give a message to our sisters, especially those with children, even those of young age who may be listening. Get under that hedge of protection, man. And follow order, follow suit, do what you need to do. But you're going to need a hedge of protection in these times.
Yeah.
If a man is going to need a team in these times, how much more would a woman need a hedge of protection
out here while everything's going down.
Exactly. Exactly.
I yield. I'm not going to pick up everybody's time.
Thank you. It's a lot of things going on in the background, but I was able to get to the gist of what he was saying here. And the reality is, I mean, they've baited sisters all the way out. All right, with this nonsense, this femininity, saying I don't need a man, whatever the case is, and now it's coming around full circle. The sisters are starting to realize that they were duped. A lot of sisters through this Instagram and meeting up are coming up missing. They're coming up missing now. So sisters got to be very careful out there. Once you're online, like Kanye said, you belong. He says, listen, women don't belong to us, brother. They belong to the gram. And there's tracking, all type of tracking devices on these devices. And sisters are going to be lured, you know, from up under their safety. So just be very careful out there. I'm telling you, and I'm glad the brother's saying it. I'm glad he's saying it because, hey, when it comes to, they didn't even say, if they're going to let hardened criminals loose, don't forget, during the time of Katrina, under that dome in the Katrina, brothers was actually e-parring backward, rap with an E on the end, girls, behind the bleachers, you know, at the dome in Louisiana. And the cops couldn't do anything. So if you think they're saying that they're going to let those of vehicular homicide go, and those who, you know, do armed robbery, they're going to let them go and can't detain them. I mean, suppose a man was a raper girl. I mean, they're going to be taking girls. I'm going to tell you, going up trying to pump gas by yourself, these guys at the gas station ain't going to be saying, but let me get your gram, let me get your number. I'm going to tell you, that's where we're going. Be very careful. Get under a hedge, like Stan said. Lisa has a comment. How you doing, Lisa?
Shalom, Elder. How are you tonight?
I'm blessed by the best, Lisa. How are you?
Great, Elder. Great. Just wanted to make two quick points, and then I wanted to get your feedback. So I was talking to an attorney friend of mine, and he was saying how, you know, most of the attorneys of color are just so upset with all of this stuff going on with immigration, like you brought out. And he was saying that there's about 100,000 Ukrainian refugees that were let into the country that was given TPS, which is temporary protective status. They were given funds, money. There were no requirements. Meaning, you know what's going on in the world. They didn't need any of the requirements. They didn't need anything to come in. They just came in. Whereas people of color coming in, it's now being made mandatory that you have to get the requirements. Mandatory.
Jab.
Yes, jab. I didn't want to say it. So, yes, you have to have the jab in order to obtain the green card now. That's a mandatory requirement now. But the 100,000 refugees coming in did not need anything. And it brings me to my other point. I don't know if you're familiar on what BOA is doing. I don't know if I can say the name. Bank of America came out with a new program now allowing so-called minorities to be able to get housing with no money down, no credit, no seasoning of funds, no sourcing of funds. If you don't have the down payment, they will give you grants up to $15,000 to be able to get the house. You would have to the only requirement is you have to go through classes for HUD. And once you go through the classes for HUD and get your certificate, you can then qualify for these mortgages that they're giving. Other qualifications is the house has to be in a minority area. You only can buy in certain areas. Right now, they haven't rolled it out to all the cities and all the states yet, just certain states right now. But my thing is, with what you're saying about immigration and the luxury hotels that they're putting certain persons in and all this stuff, and using this disguise of minority to get these housing, it's going to be another bait and switch where it'll be our face for the program, but other people, other races will be able to get these housing with nothing. Maybe to go in these communities and regentrification takes place. I don't know what is the motive behind it, because my husband was an assistant manager of Bank of America.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact, because he worked in a branch in a minority area, and it was different for his branch compared to other branches. So it's just weird now all of a sudden they're opening their doors for these mortgages to be given to minorities, so-called minorities. But when you look under the minorities, it's so much other people under there. It used to be just us, but it's not like that anymore. It's the password people, the LG, you know, all that. So it's just a bunch of other people now that's going to be able to qualify under the disguise of minorities can get these mortgages. So I don't know if you heard about that. I just wanted to get your take on it to see what you thought about it, because it's very weird all of a sudden they're opening up their doors to minorities getting these mortgages with nothing. I mean, take a class and basically you can get a house.
I'm going to tell you this. I tell you what. This conversation isn't being had, you know, in the trenches of North Philadelphia. I know that. I'd have been heard about it.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm plugged in with North Philadelphia, and I'll tell you this. It'd be everybody and their cousin and them all down there. They would spend a night in the class to get free housing, especially on the level you're talking about. We're not talking about some regular housing here. We're talking about house housing. But
house
thank
house.
You, sister. I appreciate it. All right?
Yes, sir.
And tell your husband I will call him soon. I've been busy, but I'm going to reach out to y'all soon, okay?
No problem, sir. Shalom.
All right, thank you. All right, shalom. For those who didn't know, the administration before the election told Ice Cube that they couldn't give black people anything. They had talked to black people after the election. Just get out and vote. But right now, New York Post, New York City spends $300 million annually, that means every year, to house migrants in hotels. Not just any hotels, luxury hotels, folks. Check this out. And right around the corner from there, Americans, people who were born here, our people, are sleeping on the streets. $300 million a year, but they told Ice Cube with his plan for Black America, you know, to bounce. There go your tax dollars that, you know, your tax dollars in use right there. That's how much they love us. But guess what? We have to find out through the poll we're doing in the Academy. Week 5, we're doing the poll. What is the next trigger to get our people emotionally invested in this election? Could it be, number one, a racial shooting with a white cop against a black man or a black girl? That's number one. All right? That'll be the first one. Number two. Hey, lawyer, I had a few of them. Did I write them down? Number two. What was number two? Yeah. The Brittany Griner release, showing that Brittany Griner released, showing that. Let me see here. I think I got all four written down, showing that Biden is not for imprisoning black people, and that he was able to help release a black gay woman from Russia, right? Number two is the Brittany Griner release being celebrated as some minority hot button topic or some minority accomplishment for black people. Brittany Griner a shooting in our community with a cop against a black person. I said I had two other ones. Oh yeah, that stimulus check might burn it all out. You're talking about a stimulus check with a Popeye chicken sandwich next to it. It's over. Extra pickles. You do this thing. A stimulus check. That stimulus check may be the one to tip it over. But we have to find. Or last but not least, Trump says something racially, and you know, inflammatory. Trump can say something at the wrong time, about a week before the election, that's racially inflammatory, attached to another politician that they're seeking to defeat. It's going to be Trump, Brittany Reiner, right, being released, all right, a white cop shoot a black man or black woman, no justice, no peace, and a stimulus check. So I think that stimulus check going to do it. I don't know, but we're going to see. We're going to poll it in the academy, and we're going to take that all the way up to the election, and then whoever have the most as far as, you know, lead way in the news, CNN, that'll let us know the winner. Right? The one story they stick on that they feel that's really urging us emotionally, because we don't vote based on actual tangibles, okay? CNN will stick on it. If they stick on it, you know, okay, that's the one. We'll put that number all together. Boom, we're gonna do a drawing, because there's gonna be so many people, and we're gonna draw like between five or six people and give them some historical books and all types of things I have as the Trump card. The Trump card, yeah. That's a good one. The Trump card is what we'll call it. All right. And we're gonna do a drawing, and we're gonna give out some historical gifts, Bibles, all types of stuff. And I wonder who's gonna win this. Which one you think gonna do it, Elder Lawyer, personally, you think? I think that stimulus check. I'm going to tell you, if they say they're giving out stimulus checks at Popeye's Chicken, that's going to be with the chicken sandwiches, that's going to be the one. And you know what? A lot of people are going to say, it seems like that's offensive. Why are you saying that? You playing on the racial tropes that the other races are saying about us. You know why I'm saying this? I'm saying it purposely. And know why I'm saying it this way? Because this is what they think about us. This is how little they think of us. And it's up to you. It's up to us to prove them wrong for the first time. It's up to us not to fall into the tropes or the stereotypes. Because that's how little they think of us. That's why I'm using these examples. Exactly. Exactly. They think they can just throw out anything for a vote. And guess what? Let me tell you, votes cost something outright. People are getting billions of dollars in budgets and programs because you go out there and do something while our people suffer. And every other race of people understand this. The Asian constituency, they know when they go to vote, they're getting a package for them. They're getting something that's going to benefit their people, their towns, their financial stake in this, what we would call the harlot. We're the only people who tend to deal with this political thing emotionally. Oh, man, I want to vote, man, you know, because this is why our people, I want to vote because our foreparents off the boat couldn't. Area code. And then start bucking the eyes and throw the sand on the floor and start shimmying. We done with this. Right. Judah has a comment.
Shalom, brother. Shalom. Yeah, it's great topics, man. Great topics I hear you talking about. And it's like I looked up the word purge, and yeah. One of the last definitions is to get rid of. You know, it to get rid of things. Like, we've gone through multiple purges. Just the fact that we're struggling to grab hold of our Hebrew roots means it got purged from us. And we're trying to get it back. And it's like, one of the things also that we're trying to get back are the skills we used to have. A man used to be taught to do things to generate revenue, to protect himself, to provide for his family, to build his home. And with that man working, there was something he had which was called an apprentice. And that apprentice was more than likely his son. He was teaching his son, and at the same time, his son was generating revenue. So when that son became a man, he would already have a little something put together for a dowry to get his wife. He would already have the skill to build a home to provide for that wife. Exactly. But today, a young black man will get to the age of 18, and not only will he not have no skills, he won't have no income set up, so he's not prepared to take no wife. That's why I agree when you had brought out that we need to be focusing in on us first. We need to have the Most High first in our life, and with that spiritual knowledge that the Most High gives us, he'll direct our paths, like the back of your hoodie said. He's going to direct our paths to go the way we need to go so that when the time comes to get that wife, we're ready for it. We're a man of the Lord. I'm lion bred. You know what I mean? And now I'm ready to obtain her because I've learned fear of the Most High. I've learned love and honor for my neighbors, for my mothers and fathers. And something my wife brought up a few minutes ago was the elders. And when I say elders, I don't mean, you know, like you, brother. I mean the old folks in our communities who don't have anybody protecting them. They don't have their own people. They can't look down on the younger generation and say, you guys got it, because you guys is in turmoil. And you already know, Daniel tells you that we're going to be living in a time that it's never been like this before. So as knowledge increases, our perspective and our perception of the world around us is supposed to evolve. We're supposed to know that you can't live the way you did in the 80s or in the 90s or in the 2000s. This 2020 period and forward is nothing we've experienced before. I can't take my wife bowling or to the movies without having to worry about a mass shooting or some craziness going on in Babylon. So I got to be... So now it's like I got to let go of a lot of worldly things. That's why I love when brothers like you organize tabernacles and different events for us to participate in. So as we let go of the worldly things, it's not as if we got nothing. No, we got a whole new culture to embrace. We got roots that we got to grab hold on. Something that's ours that we can pass on to our children. That's why I love the different topics that y'all be bringing out, though, man. Keep it going, bro.
Thank you, Marco. Bless you. All right, Shalom. Judah, you brought it today. I really appreciate you. Shalom. You brought it.
Shalom.
And not only that, even with the tabernacles, Elder Lawyer, you know what we're going to do? We're going to be instilling in these children at tabernacles memories they'll never forget. It's going to be memories. I guess he went to the bathroom. Memories. I remember going out, cookouts. We used to go to Baltimore, Bmore, and they used to go, you know, they used to have a whole strip where, you know, they had like the go-go music. You know what I mean? They had their own type of sound. You know what I mean? Over in Baltimore. And my mother and father used to bring us down there in the D.C. area and all that. No, it was called the go-go or something. It was some type of good music where people playing, man. And I remember the barbecues, and we go and you get the cotton candy. Well, we're going to try to establish those type of memories amongst the tabernacles. Music, barbecues, you know, games, you know what I mean? We have our chess games out there playing chess, and over there, got Monopoly games, and just, I mean, this is going to be just a family time like it used to, like we used to do, you know, that old family tradition. All right. So it's bringing that back, right? In a world of chaos and confusion, allow ourselves to take a respite and enjoy one another like family, right? All right, let's go to the next call. Let's see. Donye has a comment. Are you related to Andre Donye?
No, I'm not related. Well, yes, we are. We're in the same body, so and y'all should rather. So yeah, that's my brother for real.
All right, how you doing, Donye?
Yes, how you doing? My name is Donye Yasharala. You formerly known as Corn Pop, if you remember, you know me.
All right.
Yeah. I'm from Virginia, but I'm in a Virginia body here. And I live in Newport News. We're in the Newport News area. I'm from Newport News. And that is not as a big city as Chicago. But one thing I wanted to
my father was born there. My father was born in. Yes, yes. I got family there.
Kind. Yeah, it's not a big city. It's like a mid-sized city. But what I'm trying to understand is, you know, they're highlighting on Chicago like that's the most dangerous city in America. Well, all in all, that's the most murders that might be there, but it's not the most dangerous cities. The most dangerous cities is the mid-sized cities that, you know, every 5 miles, how much danger you should be in. See, over here in Newport News, in the Seven Cities area, north of Virginia Beach or whatnot, even in Louisiana, Little Rock, Arkansas, that's a little city, but it was once the most dangerous city in America. See, they'll hide behind the masses of people and go ahead and operate that way in the guise of looking out for the majority of the population, you know, and I see that. And a young guy like me of 36 years old, you know, as I look back in the 90s, I was straight in Marshall Courts, Newport News, 36th Street, in the trenches in the 90s. And I seen what people had did to go ahead and get some change and actually share what they got on the block. You know what I mean? But to now, to see it, those people that had locked up beforehand, those are supposed to have been our elders that we have looked at, that if they didn't get locked up through Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan or whatnot, they were supposed to have taught us what we have of awakening today. You know what I mean? They knew that, but for foreseeing it, the powers to be foreseeing that, they're like, I got to lock up these elders because, you know what I mean, the age of Aquarius is coming up.
Yeah.
So I look at it in hindsight. And I understand, okay, these people are real prestigious. But all praise be to the Most High. You know what I mean? It was only a few that came with the Maccabean era. You know what I mean? It was only a few that had, you know what I mean, don't get me mistaken, but it was only a few of us. The Most High only needs a remnant.
Yeah. It doesn't take a lot of us, okay?
Yeah.
It just takes enough of us to be on, enough of us on one page, unified. It only takes a small amount if we're unified. But go on, you're right.
So, and that comes with obedience. You know, I mean, there's a time for peace, there's a time for love, there's a time for war. But the most threat to them is that wisdom by knowing so. That's why I put really trust in the elders, you and the elders, of knowing how to maneuver of exactly what the prophecies is taking place as it's going forward. You know, I mean, anybody just gonna jump in Africa talking about, oh yeah, I'm here in Tanzania, and Tanzania been taken over already and ran by a woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we just ain't gonna jump out there, you know what I mean, without the egos or whatnot like that. So all praise be to the Most High, higher by Hashim Yeshaya. That, you know what I mean, we got the goods. And this atonement, I had my son, I had him look at the, Birth of a Nation, and seeing what type of things we do, our people had to go through only for educational purposes only. Because without the Holy Spirit, you'd be enraged of looking at something like that. But those are the type of things that had to come to pass for this awakening going on here today. You know what I mean? So all praise be to the Most High. I pray and all double honors to you, elders. And we'll see you soon, Zion.
Thank you, my brother. And yes, I mean, the Birth of a Nation, a must-see. You notice that brother's a great actor. He's been put in the Witness Protection Program ever since that particular that movie came out. Yeah, they blackballed him, but what a production. Thank you, my brother.
What got me about that, he said, we about to make it to Jerusalem. He said, I stood up.
I need you to look at that again, because the scriptures that he was showing concerning the enemy.
Go ahead.
He was showing Esau as the enemy of God in the scriptures. You seen that?
Yes, I did. I paused and showed myself. I saw my son. He's 17. So I said, you see that right there? And I was pausing. They hate when I do it for them, but they appreciate it at the end. They hate when I pause stuff. I be pausing you. I be pausing movies.
And don't forget, do a lot of this with his own money. They wouldn't back him financially with this. And on top of that, if he highlighted Edom all through those scriptures, that means that the brother who produced and wrote this production and played in this production knew who Edom is. And he must know where Israelites. He know it. So I guess that when he was in New York and going to those productions in different places, he definitely learned about the Hebrews. Because you can't show these scriptures, enemies of God, as Esau and highlighting them in the movie and not know, you know, who's Israel. So he's been blackballed ever since. You know what I'm going to do? When I get back from Tabernacles, we're going to have to do a review on Patreon eventually on the Birth of a Nation. Brother,
all
you just
praise
did
to the Most High.
That's going to be a beautiful, we need to look back at that and pull out the jewels that brother showed through that production. I really appreciate it, brother.
Con, all praise be to the Most High, Shalom, so all the saints out there in the Gentiles, we soon see Zion. You know what I mean?
All right. Bless you, my brother.
Bless you. Barakatha.
Okay, only got a few more. I'm going to go. Lydia has a comment and a question. We're going to go through a few more, and then this concludes the broadcast. And I'll try to open it up again for phone calls. Possibly, if not this Friday, I know I have to get the Tabernacles. I'll open it up for phone calls during the week while we're out there. And we're going to launch the Instagram where people can come in and just check in outright, just talk with us, you know, through Instagram. So that's going to be a new way of us conversing going forward. Lydia, you have a comment and or question.
Yes. Shalawan, Elder Rakashiara, and bless you, Elder Lawyer. Wow. It was a lot being said here tonight, and I'm in total agreement with everything that was being said. My question is there going to be a female lion-born sweatsuit for females at Tabernacle?
Oh, yeah, I have one right here.
You do?
Let me see. Is the female hoodie here? Now, we're not going to have, I don't know, but I'm sure we're going to have them at, not the hoodies, but we're going to have the shirts for females. But here's a female hoodie here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I'm looking forward to Tabernacle coming this Saturday. It would be my first event, and I'm looking forward to that. My comment on the Purge of Babylon, I believe that we're living that as we speak. I mean, we can definitely look at our community. And, you know, our young brothers are being shot every day. I mean, 30 and 29 years old. It's heartbreaking. And you mentioned something earlier about the crack epidemic, and I went through that, you know, in my community.
So did I.
Yeah, because I was, I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I grew up in South Philly, but I moved to the greater Northeast. And I remember I'm reflecting when I was working for this transportation company, and it just, that crack, the crack epidemic grew that transportation company, you know, and yes, and a lot of people lost their jobs, their homes, and their families. So, you know, when you mentioned that, it caused me to go back to that time, you know. And, you know, you talked about, you know, Bill Clinton, when he was president back then, during the 80s and 90s, and I remember him being on Arsenio Hall, and I was one of them that voted for him because he played the saxophone, and I was a fan of Grover Washington Jr. in Philadelphia back then, you know, and I didn't realize what I was voting for.
But none of us did.
He was totally against our community, you know. So I'm thankful that you brought that up, because it just took me back there. But I heard the gentleman talk about how the females need to be hedged. They need to be protected. And that's true. You know, when my doorbell rings, my husband always answers the door. You know, I'm not answering it because I don't know what's behind it. So, you know, we as females, we need our men to protect us, and we basically need to be humble, you know, and I'm learning that every day, you know, to submit to my husband. It's not always easy, but I'm practicing that. And the gathering of Crisis Church is helping me to do that. So like I told you when I saw you yesterday, I'm grateful that the Most High put a spirit on you to inspire us as a people. And I just want to thank you for the Most High. And that's all I have to say. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, sister. Bless you. And you're welcome. All praises. And what I say, the best thank you is to do what? To finish. Ye that endure unto the same shall be saved. All right. Just continue to forgive and endure. And guess what? And we need to bring this family together, because when it's all said and done, it's just going to be those who are unified in the faith to depend on one another to get through this. And that's what I thank the Most High, because he made it where in this home stretch, if we choose, we don't have to run this race alone. The Most High made a body out of strangers who didn't know each other but was from the same family, Israel, to unite us at the very end for an epic ending. But that's only if we're willing to be able to operate one The Most High is going to force us to work with one another to survive this. He's forcing us. Everyone wants to be an individual or a loner, and guess what? Christ wasn't here by himself. He had the 12. They had the 70. The 70, then the 120. Then 3,000 was baptized. We cannot do this. A nation divided against itself cannot stand. And the whole thing is those who are operating like lone wolves and by themselves will fall. Okay? The Most High is uniting us, and he's making circumstance so that we can actually deal with one another and be patient with one another, because that's what it's going to take for us to get through this. So that's why I said, like, listen, it's good when we eat when we eat this roll, like it says in Ezekiel the third chapter, when you first get this truth, it's sweet in the mouth. Oh, my goodness, we're Israel. Oh, man, this is like honeydew. But when it goes into the belly, it becomes bitter, because you begin to the gravity of upholding the responsibility of being his people, being Israel. Yes. It becomes bitter because the reality of what has happened to us and what can happen to us with this knowledge becomes a reality. So I just thank the Most High System for you and the church and all of you who continue to encourage us, to support the work, and also who's willing to endure into the end with us. That goes a long way. So guess what? Let's congratulate each other. And guess what? I thank everyone. But the greatest thank you is when we're at the finish line with our Savior. All right? Thank you, Lydia.
You're welcome.
All right. 971.
Hello?
Hey, Sunshine, I need to bring you in a minute. I hit you too short. Yeah, I'm backing you out of there because, you know, I don't know how you did that. I'm going to come and bring you back in a second. 928. Yeah, someone, don't get offended when it comes to Sunshine coming on, and I know, she's a happy person, you know, and the reason why I say don't get too upset, sisters and other, when she come on and all that, because you know what, it's good that someone's coming through with a positive spirit, and I never want to discourage that. You know what I mean? There's so many angry people who don't want to say hello, and we're living in a world of darkness where everyone is mean out there. So that's why I bring Sunshine in sometimes. It's because, you know, she brings happiness. So let's not get mad when someone is bringing happiness, folks. Makaya.
Hey, Shalom, my mother.
We're going to have enough time, you know, for sorrow later. I mean, January 1st, old Biden is cutting loose everything. He's releasing West Hell, okay? Yes. Makaya has a comment. Yes, I'm sorry.
Hey, Shalom, my elder. I just wanted to introduce myself. The word Makaya means humble, and I just want to introduce myself to everybody. I'm a brother from over here in Wyoming, and, you know, I've been basically just been by myself, just been studying learning underneath you in like these past couple years. And, you know, I've been by myself. And so I just want to reach out to a lot of the brothers and the sisters, because I know that, you know, the times, you know, it's almost ending and stuff like that. But here's a scripture I want to read with the family. It's over in Tobit chapter 12 and verse 10. It says, "But they that sin are enemies to their own life." And so, you know, with a lot of knowledge and wisdom that you guys have, you know, I just want to, you know, just grasp onto it, and also, you know, just be a part of the crew and stuff like that. I used to, Elder Yurok, he baptized me back in 2019. And so, you know, I just want to get back to where I once was and stuff like that. So.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Makaya, I'm going to have Elder Yurok call you. I'm going to text him text him your number, and let's do
okay.
It. It's time.
Okay.
All right.
And also, I have a lot of talents and stuff like that, and a lot of, you know, knowledge, and like I don't want to bottle it up to myself and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm a ISCAR brother. I know the times and the seasons and everything. I'm a wilderness survivor. So,
okay.
So yeah, I just want to help.
All right. So, hey, the Most High, he has you here for a reason. So, hey, don't worry. We're gonna reach out and just do your part in the body. All right. Just
exactly. Thank you.
Just bring your gifts. All right.
All right. Absolutely. Thank you, Elder.
My brother. All right. 404 Tracy. Tracy.
Hi. I like to talk about. You were talking about earlier how they tried to put the crack epidemic on the Rick Ross guy.
Yeah.
If you go back to articles that were written back in the early 90s, you'll see that UCLA has studies on crack in early 70s. There was another drug dealer before Rick Ross called Thomas Reese. Nickname was Tootsie. And he found the crack recipe that was published, you know, and, you know, this is all during Jimmy Carter, Democrat president, right? It was called The Pleasure of Cocaine, the book. So the actual recipe was published for us to learn how to cook it. So that by 1979, Yale told Congress we're about to have a crack epidemic. So even though it got big in the 80s, it started in California in the 70s. So when I look at what's going on right now and I think about how we were set up from everything from them placing the drugs in our neighborhoods to the Crips and the Bloods back in the day, if you were Hispanic, you could be a Crip or a Blood with a black person. Then all of a sudden there became during Reagan, Joe Biden helped write another crime bill that started kicking people out of their homes and taking things from them. Things started becoming harder for people to live, harder, less places to stay. Then there became a race war to where if you were Hispanic, if you were on a Crip or a Blood with a black person, you would die. So therefore, it became a race war. They started fighting over territory, taking black homes. Then I listened to what Joe Biden said right before he became president to Al Sharpton, and then when he had that meeting, he said, y'all are going to have to start getting along with the Hispanics. Here we are in another crisis to where people are getting kicked out of their homes, even though it's a pandemic, and they're bringing over all these illegals across the border, not doing anything about it. Now, most people are surprised at this new law that takes effect January 1st, but if you've been paying attention to the Fox, which a lot of people like to say is racist, that's not a new bill. It's already happened in L.A. It's already happened in New York. Fox has been telling us about this for a while, and I think the biggest difference now is a sheriff actually got on TV and talked about it. So they're going to all these major cities, and they're unleashing all this craziness that's going on. First thing came to my mind when I first heard it in L.A., because you can steal up to $900 worth of stuff per incident, meaning if you hit up 10 different stores, $900 per store, and you won't go to jail. So if you're an innocent person, you don't even think about stealing, and you just keep seeing everybody, what they call coming up, getting stuff, now you're a part of it. So it's bringing in people who would have never, ever even thought about being criminals because it's so easy. It's a setup. So I kept saying, he's going to have another crime bill. He's doing this to bring us out, even to tempt us, people that would never have been tempted before, to do another crime bill. And guess what he said 2 weeks ago? There's a video out where he's sitting up there, and it's called Biden Says He's Determined to Ban Assault Weapons and Gun Crime Speech in Full. Well, in this speech he's making to people, he has a new crime bill. It's called the Safer American Plan, where he plans on putting 100,000 new police force out there. And not just that, as he's talking, when you get to the 11 minute and 20 seconds, if you can want to fast forward past it, he says, yeah, it's time to get back to my old crime bill. He says it out of his mouth. He says whatever he wants to, and people still vote for him. He said that we had to deal with the Hispanics. He said that he was going to raise our taxes. That's what inflation is. He says he, you know, now he's saying he's going to get back to our old crime bill. This has been happening, and if you listen to Fox, I know a lot of people are so weak they can't stand listening to what I call white sarcasm, to where if you listen to it, you'll hear they're warning us. But for some reason, we don't want to listen. They warn yeah. us about everything they do, but we will listen to the other stations scream racism, racism, racism when they should be listening to everybody, not just one side. So he has a new, he called it the Safer American Plan, and he's screaming, every Republican said no. All the Republicans didn't want to do it. Well, all the Democrats, the people you vote for, are they want to unleash a special force of over 100,000 new types of officers onto us. And he's saying it's time to get back to his old crime bill, which was written unfairly to the black man. It was a 100-to-1 ratio. You have 5 grams of crack cocaine versus, which was the black man's choice because it was cheap, versus the white man's choice was pure cocaine. He could have 500 grams and he'd get the same sentence of you just having 5 grams. So,
well, do me a favor. No, I'm going to let you wrap it up. I get to the next call, but you've ordered a lot of great points here. But go on. What, you want to round it out?
Well, yeah. That's what I'm pretty much saying is I felt he was going to do another crime bill, and he is doing another crime bill. And he's yeah, saying it's time to get back to his old crime bill. I felt it was a setup.
Well, it's deep that you that UCLA thing, I found that. And that is true that it was cooked up amongst these particular laboratories and released in our communities, allegedly, you know. But we'll see. I'm going to play that by Dr. Ronald K. Siegel in a couple of minutes, sister. You bring forth some serious insight from the political land, you know, understand it from the socio-political view. You do every week. I really appreciate it. What's the name of that video that you – what's the name of that video where he said that he needed to bring back a crime bill? What's the name of it?
It's called Biden Says He's Determined to Ban Assault Weapons in Gun Crime Speech, and it's by CBS News. There's several of them, but that's the one that I got.
Okay, I'm going to look at it. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the info, yeah, sister. I really appreciate it. I'm going to look into it, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Enjoy. Bye-bye.
All right. Great. Our people are waking up. Praise the Most High. I don't know if this conversation and how we're coming together and the meeting of minds, I don't know if this could have been possible 15, 20 years ago to the degree it is right now. I mean, so many people are plugged in. And speaking of Biden real quick, my man, you know, I knew something was going on. I knew something was going on right before the election, all due respect, you know, to him. Speech here. You know, he got some black folk around him. Let's see what's going on here. And that's the AA. I mean, they need to put some more RICO charges out there. It goes, leader of the free will right there. UCLA's involvement in the crack epidemic by Dr. Ronald K. Siegel. I may do a review on this also. Whoa, this sister then gave me a bomb. where they are admitting where crack was being tested 13 years before it was called crack. Woo! I'm going to hold on to this. I got to go into this. So this was a calculated alleged plan, huh? And they usually admit these things when it's too late to do anything about it. Usually that's when they admit it. It's too late to do anything. A whole community, a whole generation decimated. Then they come at the back and say, well, yeah, by the way, yeah. You know, but I got to talk about this stuff like this on our Patreon. I mean, yeah, calculated way of imploding our community. Yeah, Doc, they are admitting it. Sister, thank you for that tip. I needed that. I forgot about that. Thank you, sister. 859 area code.
Hello.
859.
Hello.
Yes, 859.
Elders, yes. My name is Augustus. I'm calling from Lexington, Kentucky. And
yes.
I do want to say I've been listening to you all for several years now, and I really appreciate what you all do. And it's been – actually, it's all I've been able to listen to in terms of worship for those years. But there's a lot that's involved in that. But I do want to comment on what you're talking about with these new bills, if I may.
Yes, sir.
But with the, I know that you mentioned the battery, the armed robbery, vehicular homicide, and murder, for instance, and you know, all of those things obviously are things our people are usually on the butt end of, particularly things like vehicular homicide. You know how they go through our protesters, for instance. They've done things to test that already, where they run through our protesters and it seems to be an accident. Well, now it's going to be legal. You see what I mean? By letting these people out of the prisons, they have people thinking that it's somehow going to be the criminals that need to carry something out in terms of crime, but it won't be. The police and the military just need to go undercover, and they will handle the violence against our people. They always have, okay?
Mm.
And they've already placed – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Allegedly, let me put that out there.
Yeah, I'll say allegedly. You know, well, there are facts and history to prove that they do this, and how they infiltrate all of our movements, and how they destroy us on every level. But I want to say, connected to that is the whole defund the police government ploy. That whole thing, we don't even approach things like that by saying defund the police. That's something that they came up with. And what it did was just kind of open up the door for people to think in terms of the police being defunded when they don't show up to help you out. But they've never shown up to help us out anyway. It's always late, and they usually kill us when they get there. But the police have not been defunded. They have more money than they have ever had in history. They've got drones that they're using. They've got military arms. They're like military these days when you see them. So as they do what they're doing, everything is already in place. I've been trying to warn people for decades that we're being replaced. So you have the Asians and the Mexicans and the Indians and the Ukrainians and Afghans and Africans all here, all who despise us. And we have no protection. Our men have been reduced to homosexuals, transsexuals, and so on and so forth. So, and they've also turned the black man against the black woman. So they feel like there's no resistance. Already, it doesn't even matter about the history, but, even now, crimes against our people, they go without any real consequence. So the people that they have in place, you know, it's going to be basically, it's just, they can run roughshod over our people, and there's nothing. They have destroyed us politically, economically, from a community standpoint, medically, educationally, through the court systems, and even in entertainment, they destroy us. All of this can be proven. It's all factual. And the thing is, you know, like you're saying, our people are asleep. Lexington, where I live, is like Mexico right now. Those people get money. You know, we talk about reparations and things, but those people have been getting money monthly for ages. And the proof, you know, the proof is there. And I've seen with my own eyes some of these government checks that they get monthly, and heard from the from some of the Mexicans themselves about the money that they receive. But we get nothing. It's always that. And it's owed, but we will never get it from them. And I don't think we need to even assume that we will. So we have Asians here as well in Lexington in big numbers, Indians. And then there's a number, if you haven't, I know you've noticed, but there's a number of people that are strange that you know are from other countries, and they're in these weird jobs. And you can tell they're the warrior classes of these from these places. I've been a fighter, you know, for a lot of years, and I recognize other fighters when I see them. But I don't know where these guys are coming from, and they don't even look like they fit in. And the last thing I want to comment on, and I just want to, well, your reaction, because you have a, I want to say you have you and Elder Lawyer, all of you guys, and you guys are really on point, but you seem to have a lot of insight on some of these things that a lot of people don't even really notice. But even with some of these platforms that are out here on YouTube, the black platforms, where, you know, they're talking, you know, like they want to do something about the situation, I'm going to tell you the truth. I think a lot of these guys are maybe even agents. I have some evidence to prove that some of these guys are agents, but they don't want to talk about the Most High God. They get angry when you bring that up. They want to bring up economics. And economics never saved us. It didn't save us in the past, and it won't save us now, because they don't mind destroying everything that we build. So economics won't save us, and they don't want to touch on the Most High God. They only want to touch on the ancestors and the universe and your truth and all of this foolishness. So I get lost with those guys. I'll listen to get information, but I listen to you guys to be edified. And that's the way it's been for a while. But I appreciate you allowing me to make these points, and I appreciate you all's insight and your diligence and what you all have done around the world. I'm extremely impressed, and I don't know, maybe one day I could even get baptized, but I guess that's another story. But because I was baptized into that other church under other circumstances, and life has been complicated. So thank you all very much for what you do. I hope you keep doing it. You know, that's all I have to say.
Well, sir,
you all are.
Well, sir, I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice in the matter. I can't stop.
I understand. I totally understand.
I don't have a choice in the matter. I know what's at the end of this, and I know who called us to do it. But let me have your name, bro, if you don't mind. I like to talk to you on the outside of this. Let me have your name.
Okay, Augustus Jones, and I'm from Lexington. You want my number?
Oh, I have your number. I'm going to call
you. Oh, I see. You do. Yeah, you do.
Because you said you've been in front of this, you said, for decades, and no one was listening. So,
You know, they call you crazy when you notice things that other people don't notice. You're always crazy. But, you know, I've had my dark days just in life.
Okay.
I guess all of us have. But this is something that definitely has been on my mind. And you know, you and I would probably get into the talk of what they're doing from a DNA standpoint. And I have I know what's going on there as well. And I figured that out well when I was in high school over 30 years ago. And some of the things that I mentioned have come to pass already. It's just ridiculous what they're doing. These people are evil. They're evil. So,
So, Augustus, thank you for the call. And I mean, it's been quite informative. And I'm gonna call you. We're gonna talk, because I'm sure there's some inroads in the past that I'm sure there's some paths as far as information goes that you and I probably can relate to. In the same age range. So, I'll give you a call.
Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Really appreciate you. Shalom.
Shalom.
I'll tell you, the Most High is gathering the elect to the elect. He is gathering the elect to the elect. man, this thing on the crack thing. Elder Lawyer, did you know about that? About the UCLA was dealing with that the doctors say that they were doing studies on this 13 years before our community had the particular drug, before it was called crack. The UCLA experiment. You know about that? I heard. Yeah, that's a gem because I heard about it in passing, but I'd never really looked into it. And it explains so much. It explains so much. Because don't forget, this is at the same time that black empowerment started coming back on the scene. I know you're too young to know about this, but Farrakhan came, don't forget, after Malcolm died, that whole black movement thing was totally just, you know, it started spiraling. It really lost its depth or its power in the community after no one knew who to trust as a community after the death of Malcolm. And it was hard to grasp or to cleave to any type of leader. Not real, you know, after Malcolm and Martin, it was just like if we could allow this to happen, who can we trust? And then the 80s and 90s came around, and before that, it started coming around again where when Farrakhan started coming out and the Hebrews started teaching, and we started getting back into that self-empowerment outside of establishment conversation. It started happening again, mid to late 80s in the 90s. And I don't think it's a coincidence that at that time, boom, crack came in and devastated everything. We started trusting each other and started conversating behind closed doors with one another again. All right. And I believe that they seen that as some type of, you know, an existential threat, a political threat that our people were on conversations like we were in the 60s and threw a crack bomb right in the center of all of us. But I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to make that a conversation somehow. Either we'll do it here or Patreon or somewhere, but I'm gonna do some more research on this and pull it all together. All right. Last but not least, one more call, and then we can conclude 757. Shalom.
Shalom.
Were you on
Elder?
Earlier? Yes. This is Elder.
Shalom, Elder. Hello.
Shalom, sister. Can you hear me?
I can. I can hear you. I have a question. My question is, as far as forgiveness is concerned,
yeah.
Have you ever had a situation where you wanted forgiveness and someone did not forgive you? And how do you handle that? I was looking at the scripture in the book of Matthews with this, you know, with forgiveness. Does it have to
okay.
be theirs? Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Now, you're saying that you created an ought against a person and came to them and asked for forgiveness and they didn't forgive you. Are you speaking of yourself?
I'm not speaking of myself. I'm speaking of a family member.
So this didn't happen to you?
No, or whatever, but it seems as though whatever whomever it's with.
Okay. Let's not deal with the hypotheticals, right?
Okay.
No hypotheticals, because we cannot solve that. That's talking around things, and we're used to doing mm-hmm. that, and therefore there's no clarity and getting to the
okay,
bottom.
Okay, I guess maybe I could put it like this. No, when forgiveness is concerned, according to the Bible,
no,
can you break that down? Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness. The Bible says rebuke, and if thou repent, forgive. Those are the steps. Rebuke happens usually when someone is coming against you or rebuking you or correcting you, offended them. I mean, right? Mm-hmm. So rebuke. And then if thou repent, someone can say, well, I'm sorry, but they have to show, you know, they have to show some level of contrition. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And restitution, if they took something. That's how one repent. You change. You restore. That's why it says rebuke. It's what Christ said, rebuke. And if thou repent, forgive. Those are, that's the general stages of it in a nutshell. Now.
Okay, so. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's just the general sense of it. Now, if someone said, if you do come to someone in full contrition and they don't forgive you, then there's nothing you can do. If you made amends and they still don't want to forgive you, now the burden is on them. Okay.
Okay.
You're free. You're free. Now they have to carry that weight, that heavy weight that can cause all types of issues, you know, in their psyche. But you're free from it. Right?
All right. Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. And
so,
yes, I understand now. Mm-hmm. I do. My second, you know, I want to just say this, and I'm going to try to be quickly as possible here because I know it's getting to the end.
Let me say this. Mm-hmm. You cannot make a person forgive you.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
That's just the bottom line. You can't make them forgive you. You can only take the steps to show that you are contrite, that you're sorry for the things, for the art. But that's the most you can do. I mean, what they want, blood? So that's the most you can do is ask them, or you can ask the person, what would it take for you to forgive me? And if they say, I can never forgive you, I would just step around that and leave it alone. You're playing with dynamite.
Okay. Just leave it alone. That's right. That's right. I would agree with that. And then I have a second question. Do you feel that a woman, a female marries a man, and this man, let's just say both of them are pretty much dysfunctional, and they marry, and when they do marry, that then she turns over, and then she becomes where she turns into God. This was nothing that was done beforehand, but she turns into the Most High, if you will. And then when she does, she feels that she can bring the husband in, that she can, change. Or you ever seen that happen with people where I'm just going back when you always talk about the man being the head of the household.
You got a whole hypothetical. Are you talking about you, sister?
No,
I mean, what is the thing when people talk about themselves, but it's making it as if it's, some foreign hypothetical.
I tell you what, I'm going to sum it up by saying and all or whatever. There's a lot of situations going on, and, since I've been awakened and, Most High has awakened me or whatever, it's like, it's a TKO. It's like I'm seeing everything. It's like, oh, my God, I wish in all years ago I had, I've been in the truth in all like 3.5 years. And, I grew up in doing like church. And when I look back at church, it seems like a 5,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. It does now. I mean, I'm like, I was trying to grip that growing up and all. I could never understand. I mean, I just tried it and it just didn't come together. I just couldn't get it. But but now it's been like, 3.5 years I've been in the truth. And so, it's been a little complicated and all, but, I'm getting through. But I was wondering if you could give me a call on a personal issue, please, if possible.
Okay. I'll give you a call, sister. Thank you.
Uh-huh. So that's right. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Shalom.
All right. Shalom. I'll give you a call. All right. can't do that. Sound like somebody getting off a train, Elder Lawyer. All right. I shouldn't be here this late because I have a lot to do tomorrow. Hey, Sunshine, I'm going to let you in, and I'm looking at the clock. You can only do 2 minutes. If you go past 2 minutes, I'm going to put on the 12 Tribes song, and we're going to exit this particular broadcast. 2 minutes. So you better, I hope you're not laughing.
Okay. Shalom, Elder. Hi. Shalom. Hi.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Continually, there is this bobbing and weaving and shooking and jiving in every which way to catch Israel whenever and wherever they can get us. And there's always the modus operandi to pass the buck from one winged bird to the next, under this government. But all are on one accord and in a singular united front to continually suppress and oppress us. And in the lesser magic, even almost in gleefulness of heart, whether it's on a saxophone or not, they who have planned carefully on that chessboard against us then expose exactly what they have done against us in such a way as to take the steps used against us and claim that they did this really to help and uplift our community. And it is a pipe dream that they sell us again and again, and our own people are used to oppress us in masses, and they use us in that black face to first persuade us to follow and to be herded into the lie. Then the black facers are also used in a second way to advance and prep to cast blame for what we're experiencing and will continue to experience in droves, that we, Israel, have chosen the support of the conspirators against us. So not only are we in the communities, the poor, facing a real and present danger against us that stems from only familiar oppression, the regular familiar oppression that we've had with socially and financially being pushed down, but we are now even more in this situation because of the laws that we see that are against us, like we see coming with Illinois, that fiasco, and that are made continually to put us in bonds and as an arm against us, and it's embedded in the language so where the majority doesn't know the bulk of the tax against us, and it's justified through the law against Israel in a blatant way now that it never has been before and never again will be. And so it is no surprise that the homestead and relief sailors of violent acts will be released from the population of large and specifically on the population of us, and the earthy kings that we don't have a king to rule over us, even if the jailers and conspirators will come and be our own people. Every measure they've done is calculated in impatience and an obsession against us, aimed for our demise, from the simple to the largest tasks, that have been pushed against us. But no doubt, though, we have been pipered from back, belly, and side by our own and by others that aren't ours. Through the purge, we know that the prophecies of the remnant rise cannot be stopped. The Most High's word doesn't come back void. And as much as the mad and deranged and eternally lost will work to what seems to be without end, they and their fallen kingdom will soon end. By grace, we we'll walk in wisdom, we'll endure, and they'll lose and shimmy out the way, and we'll win. Every snare, ale, and overlook of us reveals our one step closer to the righteous goalpost under Christ, who will have the rod of iron. And all praises be to the Most High. That's all I wanted to say, Albert. All praises be to the Most High. Praise the Most High. Oh, praise the Most High, Elder.
Oh, you did it.
Bless you.
Fantastic. A little bit more than 2 minutes, but we'll let it go. Sunshine always brings some, she put it together. She has very great listening skills and a great perspective. So thank you, Sister Ani B. I had some of that apple jelly and I had some of that grape jelly. I got the grape jelly. Thank you. Connie B. I appreciate it. All the elders appreciate your jellies, and I'm going to call you so we can talk about packaging this stuff. But talk to us.
Okay. Well, I am up from 17 flavors. I am up now to 25 flavors.
25 flavors. Great. We're going to have jelly. Yes, yes, yes. And I'm bringing it with me to Tabernacles, too, your jelly. So you're going to see the videos and things that I have there. I'm going to be showing us live, going through the camp, seeing people cook out and do what they do. You know, I'm on my we're on our workout regimen, so I'm not going to eat too much, but I'm going to put some jelly on that toast, and they're going to be. I'm going to show everybody. This is Annie B's. But go ahead. You had to say something before we break out tonight.
Yes, I do. Can I say one thing, Elder? Is it possible that I can give you my website? I mean, not my website. I'm going to open up my website, but my email address. People are asking in the chat, how can they order? Do you mind?
Okay. Now, do you want to put your email address out there publicly for people?
Yes, it doesn't matter. Yes, they can have it.
What is it? I'll type it in for them. What is it?
It's B Daniels 153.
Or B Daniels. Hold on.
With the S.
B Daniels. Go ahead.
153.
153.
@gmail.com. @gmail.com.
.com. You probably want to get it on the GLCC network, too. Get a banner there and get Ani B's Jellies. All right.
Yep, I have. I'm working with Sister Tiffany Nicole Wright. She's going to make me a website, and I'm going to get that over to you so we can get it into the system.
Okay, great. Well, there she go. That's her email, and that's Auntie B. Auntie B, and I'm going to tell you, the apple, all of that, it's just absolutely amazing. Sister. I mean, I'm going to tell you, it's up there.
Well, I made a new one for the people that are in the South. It's called Southern Peach. It tastes like peach cobbler.
Peach cobbler jelly. Oh,
yep.
You're trying to hurt the game now. I'm sitting here trying to, I finally got the gut off, and you trying to mess it up here. Don't.
And then I made another one that people, if you have colds, you can also melt them down and put them on top of ice cream, put them on top of waffles or whatever. I have one that's lemon ginger. If you have a cold, you can put a couple of teaspoons and some tea, and that'll also work good for you.
Lemon ginger jelly?
Yes, sir.
I need that in my life. Hey, Lloyd, I may do that with some peanut butter. See, as soon as I get my gut off, as soon as I slim down, they come with this stuff. Listen, don't worry about it. Well, thank you, Ani, and Ani B, and I did put your email, Ani B's. That's bdaniels153@gmail.com. Support the sister. I don't have to ever worry about purchasing Welch's again. I'm done with it. It's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So thank you, sister.
You're welcome. I got no problem.
Yeah. But I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you, and we can talk about seeing what we can do to get this stuff packaged. All right?
Okay.
Hey, this is the nation. See how we do it? Praise
mm-hmm.
the Most High. All right.
Praise
thank
him.
You. I thank you all, and understand that if we follow the Most High, you can sidestep the purge. Keep in mind, the Most High is calling back Israel, and I'll see you this weekend in our Sabbath and our Hebrew and Bible Academy. Go to historytimes.org. Who is Edom is the lesson. Shalom. And thank you, other lawyer. All right. And keep understanding that the Most High is calling back Israel. Shalom.